It sounds a little bit like the sea, but it's some kind of pumping device which is bringing air into this cellar HQ for Momoto. Who are you?
I'm Oscar Calmero. I'm one of the founder of Momoto.
Tell me what it is you guys do.
We are developing a life logging camera that is really small and fully automatic, so you can put it on your clothes and you start taking pictures, and then you can upload the pictures to the cloud, and from there you can access them through your smartphone app. So you'll have a live stream, basically, of photos.
So this is a camera you can wear that you don't necessarily have to operate, and it does it decide intelligently what to take, or does it take time lapse?
It is intelligent in the sense that the app sort of calculates what photos belong to each other, what photos are relevant and interesting or exciting for you at that specific day or week or month, depending on in what layer you are watching the photos.
How does it work that out?
It's from various parameters, such as the simple ones like place and time, because there is a GPS antenna inside the camera as well. But also, if it can sense if you normally go to restaurant A or B on a Tuesday, and then you go to restaurant C this very Tuesday, that will be seen as a highlighted moment in that monthly view, so to speak.
So it's recognizing when you're visiting new places. Is it plugging into APIs?
We'll have an open API ourselves and hope others to build services upon ours. And we will, over time, try and plug it into other APIs as well. And which one and when is not really set yet, of course, since we are so early.
How frictionless is the transferring of photos from your device to the web?
Well, when you charge your batteries, which you will have to do anyway, approximately one every 2 days or 3 days, you will also automatically upload the photos to our cloud service. So it's completely effortless. It won't take more effort than just charging the batteries.
This seems to be coming at a time when a lot of people are thinking about, that people are life-logging anyway. People kind of seem to be blogging every moment of their day, but it's clumsy. They're taking their mobile devices out. And there's a couple of companies that have come out with small devices. There's one that's been out for a while, which I think was originally developed for Alzheimer's sufferers so that they could go back over their day and see exactly what it is they were doing at what time. Where did the inspiration come for you guys?
Well, life logging in a broader sense is something that has been research. It's a research area for 20 or 25 years. And there has been several testings made for how to record your life with audio, with video, with pictures or whatever. And it's, as you say, these recent years, more and more services and devices have come up. So we saw that it was an area that was about to sort of lift from the ground, so to speak. We thought it would be interesting to see if we could find a way to really to make it more mainstream than it has been so far. Because so far it's been more for a very small number of people that have been really nerdy about it, so to speak. And we wanted to see if we could make it more mainstream.
Have you done much market research in this area? Have you asked people whether they would be happy to wear a camera that was constantly documenting their every moves?
Sure, we have ourselves, and this research I'm talking about has done so us too. So it isn't the demand that has been lacking; it's been more the technique that up until now has been too clumsy and hard to wear in everyday life. Yes, we're pretty confident that there is a use for it. And it's a matter of designing it in a way so you can make use of it as well.
I found it quite an interesting mentality in Sweden when it comes to freedom of speech. I mean, it's ingrained into people's psyches. It's really important. And as a result of this, a lot of online conversation can be really quite harsh. I mean, there is the far right, there is the far left, there is every possible opinion. Is there the same kind of freedom to capture and freedom to document in public places. Is it okay just to photograph and film whoever, wherever you are? How do the people feel about that here in Stockholm?
Well, as you say, Sweden has a really long tradition of freedom of speech. We have one of the oldest laws in that area in the world. So I think it comes with tradition in some sense. When it comes to pictures, that question hasn't been that relevant up until now, really. Cameras have been around for hundreds of years, of course. And I don't think Stockholmers in particular are very, you know, more than anywhere else, feel that it's a problem, people taking pictures in public. It's not a question that has been debated on at all.
How do they feel about their freedom to privacy?
Well, that is an area that is growing, of course, as a debate area, so to speak, with the internet in Sweden as in the rest of the world. But as you say, it has to be compared to what would you sacrifice on the other end, and that would be the freedom of speech. So integrity and freedom of speech are two, you can't have one. They are connected in some way. So it's a matter of what you are willing to give up there.
For me, I was initially unnerved by the possibility of wearing a device that logged continually. Number one, I'd want it intelligent enough to know I was on the toilet so that I didn't have to filter those through later on. Number two, though, I mean, I was thinking a little bit more about it. And I thought, wow, the value that this could actually... I'm quite a serious diarist anyway, and I do a lot of offline. I document a lot of things and record a lot of imagery offline. If that could be automated, it would make my life a lot easier. But the context needs to be there. How much context is there alongside that image?
Well, for yourself, I think the context is much in your mind. When you look at pictures from yesterday, from last year, you have a context because you remember what happened just before that picture, or just afterwards. And having more pictures is helping the context as well. The context are helping the picture, so to speak. Mm. Just as you when you look at pictures today, it helps you remember what happens around that.
Let me give you an example. Your phone's ringing at the moment. You're a very wanted person. There is a meetup just about to happen, so I imagine everybody wants to get in touch with you. So finally, the different values that are connected to this, the different things that you are able to do with this information. I use an app called Day One at the moment, and when I grab a photograph, it grabs the GPS location from that photograph. It will also simultaneously look up the weather of where I was standing at that point and attach that into my blog post. And I only have to throw a few words saying, for example, what I was doing, and there is so much more context there. Will you look at updates to the firmware and hardware in the future in enabling more sensor data to be recorded?
Sure, and in that sense, of course, context can be much more and added along the way, both on the hardware and on the software. And that's why we have this open API to make it able for other people to add their software into ours. So sure, it's just a matter of to choose the right parameters or the right content to record, because in some sense, the more you add, the bulkier or bigger the camera might be, and we really want to keep it this tiny and wearable. So we have really downscaled all the other features except for the most needed ones.
And of course, we're just talking about people using these cameras, and at a time where there's more things connected on the internet than people right now, who's to say we're not going to see your camera go to space? Who's to say we're not going to see your camera attached to animals? I think the imagination runs wild with the possibility of a life-logging device the size that it is, which unfortunately we can't see right now because they're all over the world being looked at on conferences. Or when does the device actually hit the mainstream market?
Well, we ran this Kickstarter campaign a couple of weeks ago, and there we had, the early backers will get their cameras by late February or early March, and that is the date we're aiming for right now. and when it will be able for delivery to the rest of the market is not yet set, but probably around April or May next year.
Fantastic. Where can people find out more information online?
Of course, on our homepage, Memoto.com, and on Twitter, we're called Memoto Team on Twitter, so follow us there.
Thank you very much for inviting me to the first official Memoto meetup.
Thank you.